Join me, Christine Weinbrenner-Eirich, for soulful conversations with my community of travelers, exploring the heart, the mind, and the globe. We might all agree that we are missing travel right now. These conversations highlight what tourism really means for the world. Soul of Travel honors the passion and dedication of the people making a positive impact in tourism. In each episode, you'll hear the story of industry professionals and seasoned travelers who know travel is more than a vacation. It is an opportunity for personal awareness, and it is a vehicle for change. We are thought leaders, action takers, and heart-centered change makers. This is the soul of travel. Maria Baltazzi is a world traveler, seven continent distance walker, and Emmy-winning television show producer. She was one of the original producers of CBS's Survivor. Maria's most recent adventure has been founding the Sojourn Experience, where she curates inner and outer journeys for a greater good. She leads workshops, transformative trips and retreats around happiness and conscious-centered living. She teaches mindfulness, primordial sound meditation, prayer of the heart, as well as mindful movement. And a percentage of the proceeds from her trips go to one of several nonprofits that she supports, including 1% for the planet. Maria and I were connected through the Transformational Travel Council, and the first time we shared space on a Zoom call early in the pandemic, I knew that we had a soulful connection. In our conversation, we moved through many of the topics that get us really excited about creating and guiding experiences for travelers. We talk about the magic that travel holds and how to tap into it, how to make our experiences more meaningful, and why we love sharing journeys with others. There are so many beautiful moments. I hope you enjoy them as much as I did. Join me now for my soulful conversation with Maria Baltazzi. Good morning. Welcome to Soul of Travel. I'm very excited and honored to be talking with Maria Baltazzi today. She's the founder of Sojourn Experience, and I had an immediate soulful connection to her when I met her in the Transformational Travel Council in an online very 2020 networking platform, and having the name Sojourn in your business immediately let me know that there is some sort of kindred connection there, and I was excited to explore that. And as I've gotten to see your presence virtually and get to know you, I know that that wasn't, my instincts weren't leading me astray. It was definitely very much meant to be. So thank you so much for joining me today. And just like to welcome you and give you a moment to share a little bit about who you are and just kind of an introduction to the Sojourn Experience, and then we'll go from there.
So thank you so much for having me. This is such a treat to be with you this morning. And the Sojourn Experience is the culmination of all of the things that I really love in life. I started my career as a television producer. And so one of my brands under the Sojourn Experience is called Sojourn Media, and it's all of the adventure programming that I do and have done for a number of years throughout the world. And then the second brand that I have is called Picture Happiness, Take a Shot. And I have been a student and teacher of happiness and mindfulness for a while now. And that really came out of the demands of producing television. The stresses were wearing on me, and I had to figure out a better way to deal emotionally with the demands of my job as a television producer. So that's where Picture Happiness was born, and my hope studies of happiness and mindfulness. And then Sojourn Explorers, which is absolutely my heart, is a company, a brand that was born out of my just love for travel. Because of my career as a television producer, I had the good fortune to shoot on all 7 continents. And then I did another lap around the globe, hitting all 7 continents as a distance walker, entering marathons and fundraising primarily for cancer research and awareness. So all of my brands, so Sojourn Media and Picture Happiness and Sojourn Explorers, are all brands that come out of my heart. And it's just such a privilege to be able to put a company together where you really believe in your mission. You know, my overall mission is serving a greater good. And the tagline for the Sojourn experience is curating inner and outer journeys for a greater good. Now, for me, I feel like I have had a very blessed life. And whatever time I have on this planet, whatever contacts I have, whatever talent or ability, I just want to funnel it in service to the greater good. So that's me.
Oh, thank you. A few things when you were speaking came up. One is a little bit silly and yet really important, I think. I was taking a business call in the car when I was picking up my girls from school the other day. And I was talking and it was kind of serious for a minute as we were hashing out details. And then there was like some laughing and giggling and storytelling and just like a lot of joy and happiness. And my daughters were like, "Didn't you just tell us to be quiet because we had to be on a work call?" And I said, "Yeah, I did." "That did not sound like a work call." Like they said, when dad is taking a work call, he sounds very serious. You were laughing and being really silly. And I just thought in that moment, I'm like, oh, here's such a teachable moment. I said, "I am so lucky. I have created this work that I love." And I said, most of the time, it's really filled with connection and joy and happiness, because that's how I want to feel in my work and in my life. And like, that's the choice that I made, is to create that. And so it just reminded me of what you said with how each of your businesses came from your heart. And the other part of that is this common theme of the women I've been speaking to this season of having all of these passions and all of these projects that kind of sometimes seem like they're all over the place, and then yet they like come together so beautifully. And I think a lot of us get stopped at the point where we have all these things that seem like they don't mesh, and we just stop because it seems intimidating, or we think, well, maybe I should just pick with one hat and go with it. And then a part of you is feeling a little empty because, you know, if you would have dropped media production and producing, that would have, a part of your soul would have been left behind, even though you now really have this passion for curating these experiences, and they do work together. But I just, how did that feel for you as you navigated that process? Because I've been doing that myself, where I have this and I have my travel program. And then from that, during the pandemic, launched a t-shirt brand to support the artisans that I'm not visiting right now. And so I know that feeling of like, I have all of these passions that are coming out through this and being channeled into this business. And I think that's something that might be really valuable to our listeners.
Well, candidly, I'm still navigating it. And I think it's an evolution. And the big piece that opened up my eyes was when I realized that I could create an overall brand, which is called the Sojourn Experience. And that under that umbrella, then you have three vertical brands. One's producing, you know, content, you know, media content that is somehow informative or uplifting or, you know, inspirational. And then you have the whole teaching out happiness and mindfulness, you know, a way to be in the world, which, you know, on some level is an extension of the kind of content that you create. You know, you want to do it consciously. And then the Sojourn Explorers, when I curate a trip, I'm also bringing in my teachings of happiness and mindfulness into those trips. That's getting infused into how those trips are designed. And I use my years as a producer doing very large shows. I mean, some of my shows, I had 120 people that, you know, were going across Tanzania where there's very little supplies. You know, that taking that ability to produce a show, to produce an amazing experience for a guest, depending on what it is they want out of a trip.
I love that so much.
Recognizing, to answer your question, once I recognized that there was an umbrella, and noticing how each brand really did connect, and then coming up with the tagline, curating inner and outer journeys, because even when you are storytelling, you are creating an experience that is happening inside of the viewer. You know, and when you are teaching, you know, happiness and mindfulness, you are creating an inner journey for them. And same with, you know, when you are, you know, doing a trip with somebody, you know, you're taking that inner experience and then adding on that outer experience that actually informs your inner experience. So it all really does work together.
Yeah. I think that's so powerful, because I think a lot of times we set out on a path professionally and we kind of get to a point where a lot of us look around and think, well, I feel like there might be something else, but you've invested a lot of time. And so you don't want to make that shift, or you don't know how, you know, some of your passions align. But I just would offer the opportunity for people to get curious about why they love each of the things. And that why is probably where the connection is, which is what you're saying. And I also really love the idea of the storytelling. For me, really, that's what travel is storytelling. And it's really going to a destination and like unwrapping the story of the people and the place and like becoming a part of that story for a moment, which for me is really what Sojourn means, is like to be of a place for a moment, like to really gift yourself that experience. And so I love that idea of how powerful storytelling is in our journey. And both, like you said, for this global or this outer journey and our inner journey. And for listeners who may not know what we're talking about when we say that, or might not know how travel and your inner journey and outer journey connect, can you explain to us a little bit how you fold that into your programs? Because that's something I do as well. And I think for me, it happens so naturally, the same as you, but others might not quite understand how powerful that is.
So before you are even beginning your planning and all of that, and you're having a destination in mind, my first invitation to my guests are to take some time to consider, what do you want out of that experience? You know, what is, when you come home and the stories that you are going to be telling, you know, what are those, what is it that you want to have experienced to then share with others? You know, so just starting with, you know, What is that? What is that vision up for the trip? And then what are those things that you think on your trip? Now, I always say have a plan and then be flexible. You know, I do not, unless it's requested, I like to give a lot of breath into a day for that unknown to happen, to unfold. You know, because if you are so overly scheduled, then those spontaneous moments are there's no room for it. So that's where you begin. That's where you begin your inner journey when you're thinking about that outer journey, is what is it that you want to experience? What do you hope to feel? What do you hope to learn? You know, how do you want to come back from the trip? Yeah, there it's a different course when you're saying I want to come back from my trip feeling relaxed and rejuvenated, versus I want to come back knowing the culture or the history of a particular place. Yeah, I mean, those do not have to be mutually exclusive, but it does shade how you're planning your trip. And what you're building in.
I love that, because I think, you know, a lot of people, they just think about going to a destination because they're aware of maybe some of the bucket list items, or, you know, someone else went there and they had a great experience, so they want to go and have a great experience too. But they don't think about what great means, or like you said, what they really want. And that actually can end up leading to a disappointing experience, because if you didn't even know what you wanted, there's a good chance you're not going to get it. And so it's a really valuable question. And I think isn't instinctively asked in this industry. Like, a lot of times things are just packaged and created and we consume them, versus this really intentional preparation of an experience. And so I love thinking about it from this more holistic perspective.
Yeah, yes. And the other piece of it, it depends on what where the client is, where my guest is in their life. You know, is part of their journey that they're doing a career pivot? Is part of their journey that they have a big decision that they need to make and want time away to reflect on that? Are they going through some kind of challenging moment in their life that they want to work on? Because when I'm traveling with my guests, we get into that stuff. So that inner journey is also informed by where my guest is in their life. Mm-hmm. You know, so for example, if I'm taking somebody to Africa, and when you go on safari, the main action that is happening is very early in the morning and then at the end of the day. And then you have this breath of time in the afternoon when it's really too hot to do things. And that is a perfect time to spend doing that inner work when somebody is trying to navigate a challenging moment in time, or figure out what their next career move is going to be. And I tailor the work. The reflection is actually a better word of using the reflection time. You know, I tailor the reflection time in between your action to, you know, take that pause, to be in that stillness, to sort out what it is that you are hoping to sort out on your trip. So, you know, so from a designer's standpoint, it's also knowing where your guest is and what they are navigating, so you can weave that in. You know, as a teacher, you can weave that into how you're planning your days.
I mean, I have witnessed and had the pleasure of having that experience, and it's so powerful. And I love the shift of the idea that travel is kind of like an escape from your reality, which is where I think a lot of people go. Like, they maybe they are in that transition period and like, oh, I'm going to go and just escape. But then, you know, what happens is you come back and you're still in the same place. You've just left for a moment. And when you use travel as this opportunity to like be a catalyst for that growth and processing, like you were saying, and to really be with yourself for a moment instead of run away from yourself, I just think something really magic happens. And then, like you said, where you leave room for opportunity and even more magic, where you always, I find you always meet just the right person, or the right opportunity lands in front of you that almost brings light to whatever it is that you're going through in that moment without you planning it. Like, the travel will give it to you. Have you had an experience like that where you've just seen something unfold in that way?
100%. I took a guest to, it was a solo journey, and I took a guest to Kenya, and she had never been to Africa, and it was on her travel hit list. And my feeling is, especially when it comes to Africa, that if that is a place in the world that you want to go, well, first of all, go, and then go big. You know, take the time, spend the money, just go big. You will never, never regret it, because it is the place in the world where you feel the age of the earth in such a primal, stirring way that it profoundly shifts you. And that's what happened to my guest. So she had never been, she was very excited. And we were also doing, I also do a photographic mindfulness, photographic safaris. And she wanted to take pictures, and she was all excited. And she was at a place in her career, very successful woman in the media business. And she was just burnt out, and she wanted to reprioritize. I mean, she wasn't taking the trip because she was burnt out. She was taking the trip because she wanted to reprioritize her businesses and what she spent her time doing. And she was so taken by the land and the people, and in particular the Maasai, that she, this is now a couple of years ago when we did the trip, she's now built a medical clinic for a Maasai village in the Mara. And that was directly because of our experience together.
I've shared this story here too. I've met so many people where like this awakening has happened in Africa, which I love that you just shared how powerful it is, and that like if your soul is calling, go, because it is like it lives up to the expectation. Like, it's just it was so amazing. And that my business was really launched sitting in circle with women in the middle of nowhere in a hut in Uganda, where I just knew that this is how humans needed to share space with one another. And that, like, in that moment, I just got to be a young woman with another young woman, like sharing our experiences. And then I toured a university with a young man, and he was telling me about his experiences going to university, and like how some of them really paralleled my experiences. And there was just shifts on both sides. And like, we walked into the library and there were all the books, and I was sharing that. I said, are those textbooks? Do you go check those out? And he's like, well, yes, of course. How do you get your books? And I said, I sold my clothes and my shoes so I could afford my books. And then I would hope someone would buy them back at the end. And, you know, it's just like this kind of like small aha moment that was a little bit of an equalizer. And it was really lovely to just have real moments with people without any judgment for the those external factors we carry with us that tell us how someone is or how their lives are or how they should be and how we should react. It just melts away. And I felt it so much over and over in Africa. And it's just, that's what I knew I wanted to create in my business. And so again, like that alignment between how we love to show the world to other people, it's really powerful. And I'm just so excited for more people to be aware of this possibility of traveling in this way. And, I think especially myself, I sit in circle and community with so many people who see the world this way and share it through travel this way that I forget that not everyone knows about this and it's a gift. So I'm so excited that you're here kind of walking us through this and your journey. I was, as I was reading about your story, and you mentioned already that you've been on every continent twice, and one was as a television producer and the second was as you were doing a marathon and fundraisers on every continent. How did that feel differently for you? Like one, was obviously super exciting, and the other was like you on this journey and you were probably connecting in a different way.
It's almost apples and oranges. Yeah, yes. When you are on an assignment traveling, it's very different because you have logistics that are different. Your concerns are different. You're worrying about making sure you get your story. You're worried about making sure the health and safety of your team, it remains intact. You're concerned about weather. You have a lot of concerns that are vital to the success of your production. So you're very focused on that moment of getting your story and telling your story in the way that you are in envisioning. So you are not of the mindset so much about, well, let's get to know the people and let's go and make this little side trip to go check this out. You might have moments when you can do that, but overall you're pretty mission focused when you are producing a show, and especially when you're responsible for 120 people and their safety, as well as getting your content. And then when you are traveling doing marathons, that's more of a, now I'm stepping into the shoes of being a traveler, a tourist. So when you go to do a marathon, you're also taking in, if you're in Australia around the Great Barrier Reef, yes, you go do your marathon on land, but then you go do the day trip where you get to go scuba diving or whatever. So you are tying in more of that experience as a traveler, which is a different mindset. So it's apples and oranges, at least.
I just was wondering if it like maybe was an igniter for that mindfulness and that presence, like the difference between the two, and noticing like, because I've planned conferences and events domestically and internationally, and people are like, how was it? And you're like, well, I left the hotel for 5 minutes when I had to go try and find this thing that I could never find. And you were not present there. Like you were there doing your job, but you didn't get to be immersed in the experience, versus like, if that was an awareness for you, or that you realized that you hadn't actually been present where you were, like you're there. And of course you notice, but you're not like,
yeah, yes. Yes. And yes.
Yeah.
Yes, you are very focused on all of the things that I said before. However, it was my awareness of those really special moments that ignited all of the other stuff in terms of how Sojourn Explorers came about. And same with doing the marathons on every trip, because I kept experiencing these once in a lifetime experiences on a very regular basis. And it's just, I wanted to share this with other people, you know, and
right.
There was a moment I was doing a show on the Big Island, and we were near a volcano, and we had walked out on a hardened, you know, lava bed, and off in this distance you could see just this neon lava flowing out and just coming out of the volcano and flowing and flowing and flowing and ending up into the ocean, this big plume of steam, just this beautiful white steam, just this plume just shooting up into the sky. And it was so breathtaking. And the crew that I was with, we were just a small crew, but they could not stop talking. And they'd be like, yak. And I said, you guys, this is as close to seeing the formation of our Earth as you can get, is watching this lava flow hitting the water and hardening and creating this beautiful steam. Be quiet. I said, okay, 5 minutes, mm-hmm. 5 minutes. Just don't say anything for 5 minutes. They couldn't do it. I had to walk away from them and have my own moment. So even, yeah. I think because of my travel, while yes, very intense, I also did take that 5 minutes here and there to just notice where I am, you know, where my environment and the privilege of being there.
Oh, I love that. I love that we just talked through that, because I just had my own journey with you, and like, that was it too. Like, I've tried to think about the words and you just said it. Like, I've had the blessing to have once in a lifetime experiences over and over. And when I created Lotus Sojourns, I was like, I just want as many people to feel that moment as possible. And I want to create the opportunity for that to happen as best as I can. And those moments where you become so small and like so much a part of the earth and a part of like the global community, and you just really see that connection, is where it's at. Like, that's why I do this. I think that's probably why you do, why many of our colleagues, like, we've witnessed that magic, and it has nothing to do with us needing to have this business. It's like, we're addicted to seeing other people have that moment.
I love taking people to Africa for the first time, because through them, I mean, it's magical. When you see your first giraffe and those long lashes just batting at you, or you see your first elephant and them, you know, flapping their ears and trumpeting, or the first lion just kind of sulking through the grass. I mean, it is so invigorating. You know, it's so magical. And I love to see that in other people, you know, and when they're experiencing it, which I'm so excited for, you know, I get to experience it again. To me, it's just joyful.
Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. I really hope that resonates to people listening, that is the magic that is out there that they can tap into when they're traveling. And that just kind of is making me think about too, you had mentioned all of these other facets that you add to travel, that you have studied the art and the science of happiness, and you kind of use that as a way to initially kind of help you in your journey and working through, you know, your professional career to find more balance. And then that kind of just kept you know, you kept adding to that with practicing yoga and sound meditation and all of these components. And I've kind of feel like I've done the same thing. Like I've done it to heal myself and to feel better and to find balance. But again, like that moment, now I want everyone to have that too, right? And so then how does that get added into your experiences?
Yes, 100%. 100%. You know, meditation. I offer my knowledge. I offer my expertise. And then it's up to the individual to decide whether or not they want to take it. So it's there. And meditation is a very big part of it. You know, to be able to sit outside in the bush at either sunset or sunrise and have, you know, blankets on top of you and being all cozy and just feeling, you know, the warmth of the sun and meditating is glorious. It's glorious. Or being at the ocean's edge and feeling the wind blowing and just taking in those negative ions. You know, it's so settling to your mind and your body. And when you can settle your mind, you know, it's like having, you know, one of those globes that you shake, and there's all kinds of little snowflakes. But once those snowflakes settle, then you can see, you know, the Statue of Liberty, you know, whatever is inside that snow globe. Well, that's like your mind. You want to stop the shaking and let it settle. So then you can have that clarity to think about the things that are important to you. So, you know, guided meditations, yes. What I do, I have studied yoga and breath work. And what I do is I call it mindful movement, where you are paying attention and moving to your breath. And it's more gentle exercise, you know, it's more gentle stretching and just body awareness that supports your meditation. So I offer that. And then, as I mentioned before, it depends on where my guest is in their life. And then I will have a series of reflective questions that I'll have them sit in and journal about, freeform, write about. There'll be a series of questions that I'll ask, discussions that we'll have that are meant to inspire their thoughts about whatever they are working on.
Yeah, I love it. I'm like, oh, I'm so ready to go right now. It's kind of this space, this moment in time we're sitting in has been so interesting, because it's like this moment to really reflect on why all of this is important. And now I'm so ready to like be out there creating these moments, and soon, I think, but it's been just, I'm getting a little impatient, and I hear these stories and it just lights that wanderlust in me, and I'm so ready to bring the magic. I know that another component that is really important to you, and I also, I think that this is so important in how travel creates a positive impact. I know that you support a lot of nonprofits and organizations through your work. Can you speak just a little bit to that give back? I think you call them compass points, right? That focus of your business in the giving back.
The give back was initially designed as part of the DNA of Sojourn Explorers in particular. It was designed to have that component because that's what I did when I made my second lap around the globe, going on all of the continents and doing marathons as fundraisers. You know, when I was thinking about Sojourn Explorers, that's what I wanted people to be able to do as well. I wanted them to be able to use that travel experience to give back to worthy causes. So that's that's just the DNA of the company. And one of the organizations that as a broad contribution is 1% for the planet, which is about the environment. And you are pledging to offer, you know, 1% of your proceeds to the organization, and they support all kinds of initiatives from the oceans to land, and they're just so well run. And so that's a company that I really believe in. And then the other company, the other nonprofits that I support, they have a deeply personal connection for me. So Stand Up to Cancer, I've done most of my fundraising marathons for them, and I still continue to. I just, in 2020, between mid-May, when we were going into lockdown in Los Angeles, to Thanksgiving, I walked 1,000 miles, and it was in support of cancer patients and caregivers who also have COVID-19. And on Christmas Day, I pledged another 1,000 miles. So Stand Up to Cancer is a very special organization. My mother is a cancer survivor. My brother is a cancer survivor. Unfortunately, I lost my sister. So and I also have other friends that have dealt with cancer. So it's a very personal organization. And then another organization that I belong to is called the International Anti-Poaching Foundation. And the person who runs this organization, Damian Mander, this guy's he is a conservation warrior. And I met him when I was doing a show about anti-poaching and it was with 3 former Navy SEALs and a Green Beret, and they were teaching anti-poaching paramilitary techniques to the Rangers in the Greater Kruger area. So it was out of that experience, and they were focusing mostly on protecting the rhinos, that I met Damian and heard about his organization. And he has done so much good in the world to save both the rhinos and the elephants in Africa. And so this was somebody who put his money where his mouth was. He was a former spec op and special operator. And when he got out of the military, he saw just how horrific the situation was in Africa with poaching. And he sold everything he had in Australia. That's where he's from, brought his family over and set up this organization. And now he has a team of female rangers that are doing the anti-poaching work, and it's extraordinary. So I'm not gonna go through every other organization we support, but those two are very personal. You know, so I try to support nonprofits that I have a connection. I have a connection with.
Thank you. I think that also just really speaks to kind of where we started this conversation of when you build something that comes out of your heart and out of your why, it just becomes more meaningful to you, but to everyone who comes into contact with it, because they can feel that you're doing this because you can't do anything else. Like, this is just what you have to do. So I love that. I feel like we kind of, in the craziest way, went full circle with really kind of living on purpose and really getting to understand yourself and then putting that out there, which is what I think that you have done so beautifully with your business and what I aspire to do as well. I I always say this, so I'm sure anybody that listens is like, okay, here's the point where she says, I don't want to end this conversation, but but I don't want to end the conversation, and we'll probably wrap up, but I have two things left. First, I would like you to be able to share, I know you have some great things that you're working on in the future, and if you just wanted to share with us a little bit how they can find out more about what you offer, how they can travel with you, how they can get involved with Sojourn Experience.
Oh, great. Thank you. So I have two trips this year that I'm pretty excited about. And that is through Sojourn Explorers. And you can either just go to sojournexplorers.com or you can go in through the sojournexperience.org. And you, that will lead you to Sojourn Experience as well. And that trip is in September that I'm doing, that is going the last 100 kilometers along the Camino de Santiago in Spain, which is a pilgrimage. And I love this journey because to experience, well, first of all, the Camino is one of the hallmark pilgrimages that you can make in the religious world. However, you don't need to be Christian to enjoy the experience. A lot of people will do the Camino just to be out in nature and to have the experience. They do it for the physicality. Mm-hmm. And other people do it for the spirituality. So they come for different reasons. But doing the Camino is such a metaphor for how one can live life. You know, you feel that you can go up to anybody and just strike up a conversation with them. And you see moms and dads pushing baby strollers to very athletic people, to people who are older and walking with canes. I mean, it's just this leveler of ability of people to be able to do it. And the people who live along the Camino, many of the homes will open up and have tables of meats and breads and cheeses and fruits that you can just take. It's just their offering to the pilgrims. And so that's happening September of this year. And then I have a journey to go to Zambia and Malawi, and it's a photographic safari infused with mindfulness teachings. Mm-hmm. And so that will be in November. And then so that's Sojourn Experience. And then I also, as a meditation teacher, I do live meditations Tuesday nights Pacific time at 8:30 p.m. on Insight Timer, so people can follow me there. And then I have a newsletter called 8 Good Things. And 8 Good Things is, as the name says, you know, it comes out every 3 weeks. And I highlight things that are meant to inform, inspire, uplift. It's all very positive content. And then I also will weave in some happiness and action kind of practices and, you know, beautiful photos to look at. So yeah, those are some of the things that I'm doing.
Excellent. I didn't know about the Insight Timer, and I'm so excited because I use that all the time, but there's so much on there. You never know where to go. And I usually actually just use it just for the timer without any people, but I'm really excited to look into that. And then also the trip in September, when I saw that as I was preparing for this conversation, I was like, that might need to happen. I have wanted to do one of the walking pilgrimages, and that has been on my list, and it would be so amazing. I've also been looking at the Jordan Trail, and then there's one in Egypt that has recently opened. Well, it's probably not open right now, but it had opened. So that's been high on my list. I really agree with you that like slow walking and connecting, and like, it's just nowhere else to go. Like, you just have to be there. I just think that it will be so powerful. So that is an experience that is on my wish list.
Yeah, when I do that trip, when I guide that trip, I also make a point, and we usually do it in the afternoons where we'll do a silent walk, silent meditative walking for a while. And then afterwards, as we're still walking, you know, share our experiences.
Oh, that would be so good. I did that in Colorado on a super small scale, but I was at a mindfulness and healing event. And we did kind of like a group meditation over this on this cliff overlooking the mountains. And then they said, we're going to walk silently to the next place where we're meeting. And like, my brain was like, silently, what does that mean? What is that going to be like? Like all the things started happening, right? That happened in our bodies. And then like, just to only hear, it was like gravel trail, just like only to hear everyone's footsteps in unison. Talk about powerful. And then like, as you said, like the snowflakes started to fall down and like my awareness opened up. It was like probably one of the most powerful 20 minutes of my life, just in such a simple container. And so I can only imagine when you're already in a place that's like spiritual and everyone's kind of in that same mindset and space for that practice. The last part of this is kind of my non-rapid fire. it always ends up being like a moment of conversation. But I have 7 questions just to end kind of on a fun note, letting our listeners get to know you a little bit more, and maybe they'll learn about something else that will pique their interest. So the first one is, what is your favorite book or movie that offers you a travel escape or inspires you to take an adventure?
Zorba the Greek, and there's a reason for it. Background, my culture is Greek. Both of my parents were raised there. They actually met in a vineyard when they were taking a break from their studies. And Zorba is this larger than life character that no matter what is going on in life, the catastrophe that is going on in life, that you still embrace it and you dance. In the face of adversity, that's what you do, you dance. And I love that reminder.
A perfect message for this time too. What is always in your suitcase or your backpack?
Me.
You. Perfect. That's all you need. What is your favorite destination?
Africa.
And there's probably not many corners left, but where do you still long to visit?
I would still like to go to Namibia. I haven't been to Namibia yet. So in Africa, that's part of my list.
Let's see. What do you eat that immediately connects you to a place you've been?
It's Greek food, and it connects me to my family, and Greece is it's such a beautiful country and such a beautiful culture. And I eat Mediterranean food almost every day, and it always, it's comfort food for me.
Oh, I wish that was my daily food. I love it as well. Who was a person that inspired or encouraged you to set out to explore the world?
That's a twofold, and they didn't do it intentionally. It would be my father and my maternal grandfather. My maternal grandfather was from Russia, and he fled Russia for political reasons. And so he left Odessa, and he would walk at night and sleep in cemeteries during the day, because cemeteries he felt were safer places than trying to go into towns. And then afterwards he became what was basically a merchant marine and just was on the oceans for a number of years until he met my grandmother, and then he stopped doing all that. So that, and then my father, when he was a teenager, he actually went with his uncle to the Cameroons, and he thought he was going to stay there. However, he got malaria and ended up by going back to Europe. And I just grew up with the stories of the both of them. And I cannot think of a time when I didn't have this yearn to travel. If I had another life, and I'm not totally 100% in reincarnation, you know, I don't disbelieve, but I don't believe it. However, if I were to have another life, I was a pirate on the seven seas. There's just something about being on the ocean that is just, it's just a real pull.
Oh, I love that. There's a lot of just like romance and magic and like in your story, just that would definitely like light that call to travel. The last one is, if you could take an adventure with one person, fictional or real, alive or past, who would it be?
Well, what first came to me was Peter the Great. When I read the biography of Peter the Great, I fell in love with this man. He had such a curiosity for everything. And he just pulled Russia forward. They were kicking and screaming. You know, the elders were kicking and screaming. And he just introduced art and currency and having access to the sea, and just such a forward thinker for his time, that I really fell in love with this man's sense of adventure and just will.
This just reminded me too, as we're wrapping up, of thinking about all the ways that we kind of travel and explore without ever going anywhere, and the beauty of that and bringing that into our lives, and then also accessing some of that awareness and mindfulness and presence we get when we travel and bringing it every day into our lives. So thanks for kind of bringing that to the forefront. I think that really helps to make travel and that connection accessible to everyone. It's really there.
Well, that brings just two quick things. My biggest takeaway from travel is not to judge a book by its cover. You know, to keep open and curious, because you just never know that person who might be in flip-flops could be the grand chief of you know, an entire area that is very well respected. So just not to judge a book by its cover. And then the idea of when you are in your real life, and how are you taking the spirit of travel with you in your daily life? Now, I'm very fortunate where I live in Los Angeles that I can walk out my back door and be in Griffith Park, and I have miles and miles of hiking. And over the last several months, while we've been in stay-at-home mode, I've been to Greece, I've been to Italy, I've been to Africa, and it's all been within the hills of Griffith Park. Because when you look around, you see bits and pieces of one terrain that remind you of another terrain. And I just went there, you know? So I still traveled.
Yeah, that's the perfect place to end. Thank you so much for this conversation. Like I said, I've been waiting and waiting, and I'm so glad it was more than I expected. I'm so happy to have had you here today.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This has been very fun, and I admire the work that you are doing and seeking to create. So I wish you well.
Thank you for listening to Soul of Travel. I hope you enjoyed the journey. If this sounds like your community, welcome. I'm so happy to connect with you. You can find more about the ways you can be a part of the Soul of Travel and Lotus Sojourn community at www.lotussojourns.com. Here you can find out more about Soul of Travel and my guest. You can also find the Lotus Sojourns I Guide for Women, as well as my current book, Sojourn, offering an opportunity to explore your heart, mind, and the world through the pages of books specially selected to create a unique journey. You can find me on Facebook at Lotus Sojourns and join our community, the Lotus Sojourns Collective, or follow me on Instagram, either at Lotus Sojourns or Soul of Travel Podcast. Join the Lotus Sojourns mailing list. I look forward to getting to know you and hopefully hear your story.